The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. Now, on this Monday, the 25th day of April, 2022. People ask me, why do you always do that? Well, here's why we do that. Because when we are looking for one of the programs and that's got certain content, if somebody says, well, it was around the 25th or whatever, then when we play, we have to go back and find the program and only have to play a minute of it to know if we've got the right program. That's why I always give the date. And that's just the way we do it. Right, Mighty Andrew?
Correct, Pastor.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Now we have with us tonight the Missouri parson, Joe Larson.
Well, the one who's redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am, your highly unpaid professional assistant is ready to go to work.
We got a lot of work to do tonight, don't we?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here's where we got to get started. We got to recruit all the folks out there listening to us tonight. All of them got to be recruited, and here's why. We got a prayer request. Tomorrow, a lady named Heidi Barnes is going to have surgery, and it's very serious surgery. And Heidi wants prayer. Now, there's much power in prayer. And Joe, you know that often, even for big, ugly men like you and I, when we go into surgery, we've got concerns, right?
Sure do. We've recovered from a lot of things, but I just say by the grace of God, we're still here.
Yeah, we are. Now, so Heidi has requested that she gets some prayer. So let's do that. In fact, why don't you lead off and hold Heidi up and just ask that the Lord guide the surgeon's hands tomorrow and that everything comes out good and she receives a blessing.
Everybody, please, pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know Heidi, but you do. You know every hair on her head. You know everything that's wrong with her, and you know why she called and asked for prayer. So according to your perfect will, we are praying for her, holding her up to you, that, Lord, that you would just bless her in every way possible. You know what she needs. So make sure that she's with the right doctors, that you would help guide the surgeon's hands and be with the nurses and the medical team, and that, Lord, if it be thy will, that she would have a miraculous healing, or if it be thy will, that you would use the doctors and the techniques available, that she would have this marvelous outcome and return to the state in which she came to us. And we would just ask that you be with those that love her, that are worried about her, and comfort her and all those that love her. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. The title of the message was, you know what the title was, don't you?
Storm clouds, birth pains, and times of sorrow coming soon.
Alrighty, and boy, I'm telling you, this is all coming soon. Now, a good friend of mine and yours has written an article saying that the tribulation period and the Great Reset are one of the same, and that we're in a tribulation period. We're in a time which I think is very close to the start of the tribulation period.
Yeah, we're getting very close.
Yeah, and so anyhow.
But God promised the church, he basically said that the saved would not go through the tribulation. The tribulation was like the refiner's fire for the purification of his original bride of Israel.
And well,
bride, the church.
Yeah, the church is the bride. The
bride that the, Israel was originally his chosen for the...
Referred to as the wife of God in the Old Testament, yeah.
Right.
And so, but she has not been... A good example was that is...
Not a faithful wife.
Right. In the book of Hosea, he gives an example of Homer. Mm-hmm. Homer is the wife of Hosea, and she's a whore. And he gives an example of how she goes a-whoring and tells Hosea loves her and wants to marry her, tells Hosea this is how he deals with this with Homer the whore. And that's how he's been...
Humility, yep.
That's how he's been dealing with the nation of Israel, just like, as he said in the book of Hosea. But anyhow, we're going to start out. Now, Joe, in the Western culture in which we live, I call them la-la landers, referring to the vast majority of the population or humanity. Now, they know that things are not the way that they should or could be, but they're all at a loss to reason why. Now, they sense that there's a great cultural divide between the indoctrinated and the biblically literate. They're in a fog as to the meaning of the converging of the geopolitical, ecologic, scientific, religious, spiritual, moral, cultural, and economic New World Order. They're at a loss. At a complete loss to understand why they're being taught to accept and conform to beliefs that not so long ago would have landed them in a mental institution. Yeah. Things like killing an innocent baby isn't murder, but a constitutional right. Things like numerous genders and sexual identities when they've always known that there are only two genders. It's always been just two, male and female. And they're bullied by the Antichrist left into silence when they know they should speak out against the evil, but are afraid. They're so afraid of being censored or canceled by the communist left.
Well,
they feel...
Perfect example, there was a story out today from Laura Duggan at the Daily Caller News. Two Americas, social issues widen the split between the states, talking about how the social issues are pushing states further apart. And it's like, there's no understanding in the article, like you said. Even the people that are looking at it have no conception of what's happening in our country, that we're having this war between Christ and the Antichrist system, and they just cannot see it's a spiritual battle.
They feel mocked and made to look foolish when they have to pretend that they don't know what a man or a woman or a boy or a girl is. They fear to speak out against the lunacy for fear of being outed by the fake news media.
News people, yeah.
They know that the critical race theory promotes hatred against white people. It teaches children that they should feel ashamed and apologize for being white. They know that the Burn, Loot, and Murder and Antifa are to the Democratic Communist Party what the brown shirts were to Hitler and what the red shirts were to Stalin. They know that the woke movement is led up by corporate whores that have sold their very souls, and they've sold their very souls cheap. They see pedophilia, sodomy, transgender, bestiality, and child sacrifice on the rise. They know that these are abominable, evil sins and will destroy a nation, but are much too afraid to stand against them. They see a wicked and evil Antichrist pedophilia named Joe Bama Biden opening opening our nation's borders to invaders, terrorists from around the world, when the definition of foreign invasion is an act of war. We see the deathocratic communist regime aiding and abetting drug cartels and human traffickers in a mad rush to reduce America to the status of Venezuela or North Korea. We, those of us that understand what the depopulation agenda of the New World Order is, have been, to a great degree, alienated from family and friends that are clueless. They're clueless. We, those of us that are of sound mind and biblically literate, understand that the forcing of dehumanizing wearing of masks has nothing at all to do with stopping the spread of viruses. It's all about degrading the image of God and controlling the masses. We are fully aware of the goals of Big Pharma and to corrupt our DNA and actually to reduce us to less than being human. We know that many times more people are dying from the kill shot than are dying from the COVID. The fake news media has gone a whoring with Big Pharma. They're running interference for Big Pharma to keep the truth from coming out. Today in America, the following institutions have lost all credibility. The AMA, when they come out and say they really don't know how to define or if there are two genders. The CIA, totally corrupted. They have become rogue. The FBI, we've talked about that before. They're no longer an independent agency. At least the top are dirty cops. They're dirty cops at the top. CCD is not a government agency, as a lot of people think. CCD is owned by Big Pharma. They're an extremely corrupted organization that's owned, completely by Big Pharma. The FDA, the HHS, the DHS, and they're all, right now, they're all a major part of the DNC, which is the world's largest crime cartel. The Deathocratic National Communist Party is the world's largest crime cartel right now. And so, with that, Joe, let's go to Mark chapter 13.
All right. How far do you want me to read?
Well, let's take a verse. I'll tell you what. Let's take read verses 1-4.
All right. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?
Well, here, Joe, about 15 years before Jesus was born, about 20 B.C., Herod the Great began to remodel and rebuild the temple, which had stood for nearly 500 years since the days of Ezra. Herod made the temple one of the most beautiful buildings in Jerusalem, but he didn't make it to honor God. No, not at all. But to appease the Jews, whom he didn't trust and whom didn't trust him, but whom he ruled. The magnificent building project was not completely finished until about A.D. 64. Now, Jesus' prophecy that one stone would not be left upon another was fulfilled just 6 years later.
Later, yep.
70 A.D., when the Romans completely destroyed the temple and the entire city of Jerusalem. Joe, go over and to...
The order was... Destroy the temple, let not one stone stand upon another, the general said, right?
Yep. Now go over to Ezra chapter 6 and start with verse 13 and read it all the way through 18.
Then Tatnai, governor on this side the river, Shethar Bonzai Nai, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent. So they did speedily, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded, and they finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king.
Read all the way through 18.
18, okay. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses.
Now, let me ask you, who was the first to order the building of the temple? Was it Cyrus, Darius, or Artaxerxes?
I do not remember.
It wasn't either of them, Joe. It was God. God ordered it. And then, when I was in Israel, they had coins that were made up, and on one side they had Cyrus, who was the first king, and on the other side they had Donald Trump. And they were comparing Donald Trump with Israel because he had moved the capital there to
Jerusalem, where it belongs.
Yeah. And so here now, we go back to where we started back in Mark 13. And here, when he had said, and he set upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple. Well, you know, I was, the Mount of Olives, I was there. It rises above Jerusalem to the east. You can see there's slopes. And you can look down on the city and see the temple. And of course, in Zechariah chapter 13 and 14, he refers to that. Now, if you turn to Zechariah chapter 13 and start with verse 7.
Zechariah
13.
Zechariah 13, okay. Here we go, 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand and upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Okay, stop there. Now, this was written like 400 years before the birth of Christ, and obviously is describing Christ and the apostles there that should have run. But now it jumps ahead in two verses, from verse 7 to verse 8. He is telling you, it jumps ahead. The Bible's not in chronological order in a sense that, you know, it will go step by step. Sometimes it'll take you back. You'll be at a place and then you'll go back, like where we just came from here from Mark 13. Now we're going back over 400 years to verse 7. But then he jumps ahead to a time that has not yet happened yet, but the prophecy will be fulfilled in verse 8. Now, here, when he talks about these two-thirds are going to, which is true Israel, the two-thirds of them, Joe, are the seed of Abraham, but only one-third is the sons of Abraham.
Sons of Abraham. The difference.
Yeah, and so here, Now, he picks it up before you go on. Mark it with a verse with chapter 14 and jump over to Revelation chapter 19 and read verses 11 through 18, Joe. Verses
19?
Yeah.
Verses what?
11 through 18.
11 through 18, all right. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white, clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Now we know who that is, right? Now here,
that is Jesus coming back. That is the return of Christ.
When he's referring to, on his head were many crowns. It's not like what we picture a crown, and you wonder, well, how could he have a lot of crowns on just one head? Well, the reason for that is on that crown, it's just like Joe, you know, today. When you look at these Pentagon desk jockey generals and that, they've got all these medals they have on them. And,
right. All the hash in their chest, yeah.
Yeah, and but they all represent something different. And so what that's referring to is like on that crown, there will be all these different representations of mighty, mighty, miraculous things that God has done and who he is. So now you see that he is leaving heaven. He's leaving heaven with his army. Joe, what is the purpose of an army?
The purpose of an army is to go to war.
To go to war. Okay, so now here when you go to war, the purpose of you go to war, the object is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. Am I right?
Right.
I mean, that's...
the battle to win the war.
That's how it goes. So now... you see him leaving heaven with his army. His army is made up of four categories of saints. Four categories. Do you remember what those four categories were?
No.
Okay, the very first mention of saints in the Old Testament is referring to angels.
Angels.
And then you have the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the Tribulation saints. And so he's heading back to earth with his army. And now turn back to Zechariah chapter 14 and read verses 1 through 5.
14, 1 through 5. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to do battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against these nations, as when he fought in the days of battle, in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the day of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
So now he's coming with all the saints, that's his army. And armies do battle.
The world have gathered against Jerusalem and have taken half the city and most of the people.
Well, no, they've taken the whole city, right. And the people have run out of the city, and they're running towards the Mount of Olives. He has split it to the north and the south. When did he do that?
He called the Jerusalem and Mount Olives. It's, oh, I can't think of the name.
But anyhow, here's what's going on. Just like, remember, as he fought in the day of battle, that refers to when he took the people out of Egypt and he parted the Red Sea to the north and to the south. And he took the people through the Red Sea. Now, he's taking the people through the Mount of Olives to Petra. And they're going there for the safety. This is the remnant. Now, when that happens, the armies of the world show up. Now, we're not talking about Pharaoh and his chariots. We're talking about high tech. We're talking about Black Hawk helicopters. And this passage right here is one of those passages where McTernan and I got into it with the Pentagon and the War College, because they had written an article saying, because of this right here, this prophecy, which is likely to, is which will come true, that Christians should not serve in the military because their allegiance is to Christ and and not to the United Nations and the New World Order. I'm not kidding you. McTernan and I got
they
to it.
They certainly don't understand, because the church will have left long before, about 7 years before, and will be coming back with the saints when the Lord returns. So it really will be irrelevant, won't it?
Well, look, if you knew you were up against an enemy that cannot lose, that has never lost a battle, okay, which has absolutely no limitations on his power, you have to be a fool to even go to plan on doing battle with him, wouldn't you?
I'd say so.
So those people over there at the War College and the Pentagon were fools. And
they were also ignorant too, right? I mean, they really didn't understand the 7 years of tribulation and the church being gone with the rapture. I think there's a lot of the story they missed. So, you know, first their lack of understanding supersedes their stupidity.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back right after this with more.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war, to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. In the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and their global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
Yep, no Pentagon and the War College are going to believe that someday. They will believe that. You know, now, Hey, Joe, there's these two ladies, Leah and Michelle Svensson. They're called the Resistance Chicks, and they have an announcement, and they asked me to make, so I'm going to do that. On April 30th, which is this coming Saturday, we invite anyone running for a political seat in Ohio, along with all the patriots who love the state and our country, and all patriots, pastors, and patriot group leaders to come for the biggest night of political, patriot, and pastoral unity that has ever been seen. We have a night of speakers and candidates in prayer and good old-fashioned revival. We're going to forever change the way politics are done in this nation. Candidates, if you need signatures, exposure, support, prayer, you need to be here on this night. Bring your table. Come early. Set up. We want you to spend the evening telling everyone who you are and why you're standing up for Ohio and your community. Doors open at 4:30 and for setup, and 5:30 candidates pre-event huddle. Contact the Resistance Chicks for more information. And again, let me go to the address on this here. I had the address here. Okay, now, you know what I'm going to have to do? I got to go down here and get the address. Let me hit that and see if that'll bring the address up. Okay. No, it's not going to bring it. It's not kind of working here. Okay, let me. I just had the address here, and now it's gone. Let me see here. Okay. Patriot. Oh. It's not. Okay. Patriot candidate night. Okay. We're about this. Okay. Let me see. Maybe it's down at the bottom of this. Okay. Yeah, here it's at. It's at 488 Johnsville, Brookville Road. 488 Johnsville, Brookville Road, Brookville, Ohio. With a zip of 54309. Again, folks, it's at 488 Johnsville, Brookville Road, Brookville, Ohio. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Again, it starts at 4:30 with setup. Candidates huddle at 5:30. And I will give you the number for these Resistance Chicks, Leah and Michelle. They're two feisty young, pretty young, two sisters that are very pretty and feisty. Their phone number is 513-607-4068. One more time, 513-607-4068. Joe, you know, if...
what night is this?
This is Saturday. It's Saturday night.
So maybe we could repeat this every night.
Yeah, I'll do
like
that.
It's an important event.
Yeah, it's for... They invited me out to speak, but Saturday is one of my busiest days.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I've been invited to too many things, and especially too many funerals lately. But anyhow... I just want a question to think about this for a minute. If you and I were women, and I know what a woman is, you know, in fact, there's a definition. Do you think that we would be called chicks?
No.
All right. I don't even want to go there. Okay, how about old hens?
That would be closer.
Look, okay, so we wouldn't make the Resistance Chicks. Joe, you're...
Not.
Very true. That's very, very true, Joe. Now, after saying that, I want to tell you this that we have coming up here. We're going to play a clip. And this clip is, it's about, well, what we're going to be talking about here. We're going to be telling folks to please, please, please start stocking up with food. There are some hard times coming. Now, we've been mentioning this. And I've said this a dozen times already, but there's some bad times coming here. And so if you would go, Joe, and just listen to this clip. It's the American Famine of 2022 by Greg Reese. So, Mighty Andrew, bring her on.
The term bread and circuses comes from an ancient Roman poet describing how the people are governed, not by excellence in public service, but by food and distractions, like a herd of livestock. Today's circuses can be found on Twitter, a reflection of the human herd's short attention span. Meaningless distractions to keep everyone calm while their food supply is being destroyed. While fools joke about Biden doing a horrible job, his administration is doing such an efficient job of destroying America that anyone running in 2024, if there is an election, will have to run on the Build Back Better platform. Starvation has been used as a weapon of mass destruction for years. In just a two-year period, Stalin's communist government murdered over 3 million people in Ukraine by simply pulling the strings of bureaucracy, sanctions. The Ethiopian counterinsurgency burned crops and food stores, airily bombed food markets, and restricted trade. They then began a resettlement plan that killed at least 80,000 people with further starvation. The U.S. State Department murdered over 500,000 women and children in Iraq with starvation by sanctions. And this is exactly what is happening in America today. The Biden administration's sanctions against Russia are only succeeding at killing more innocent people all over the world by dramatically cutting down the worldwide food supply. There is already a significant wheat, fuel, and fertilizer shortage, which is obviously going to affect everything else, starting with fresh produce and livestock. But in order to completely collapse the food economy, they'll have to start destroying food packing plants as well, so that there is nothing left on the shelves for you to eat.
There have been confirmed over a dozen disabling accidents at food plants in the last month, over a dozen.
Absolutely, and we're talking about some really significant plants. The Taylor Farms facility in Salinas, California was completely destroyed by a fire last week. We've had two major potato processing plants in Belfast, Maine and Warden, Washington that were completely gutted, which is happening at a time where we already have a potato shortage globally. You were talking about the onion supply at that Rio Fresh, but it's not just produce plants. Last month there was a fire that took out a Nestle food plant out in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and that's impacting frozen food brands like Hot Pockets or Stouffer's, which maybe you might buy if you can't get fresh food from a warehouse that just exploded.
Those still satiated with their bread and circuses are soon going to start getting hungry. And it's because America is under siege, being destroyed from within by a corrupt government, while the people seek fairness on Twitter. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, Joe, you know, in Revelation chapter 6, we read this, and starting in verse 5, and when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balancers in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and wine. Now, I know that there are those out there right now that are saying, okay, you see, this third seal is what we're happening. We're in the tribulation period. No, what we're in is called a type and a shadow. It's a type of things to come, or a shadow of things to come.
To come, right.
It's a prelude now. But isn't it interesting, Joe, that what one of the countries that was the breadbasket of Europe was for wheat and barley is the Ukraine.
Exactly, and where the war broke out.
And touch not the oil. Boy, you see what we have. Joe Obama has, not only did he stop the flow of oil in his country, Joe Obama is following the orders of his mentor, Obama. Okay.
Exactly. Well, people don't understand it's the natural gas that they use to make the fertilizer, the nitrogen that's so important in the fertilizer that fertilizes the other crops around. We talked about that, but I was just looking three headlines Recession shock is coming, Bank of America says. Deutsche Bank, first big bank in the world to forecast U.S. recession and possible world recession. U.S. economy facing recession next year, Fannie Mae says. You know, and there's been a lot of other things that just haven't been really reported. Isn't out there in the news. You hear all the hype, oh, it's just going to be temporary. Everything's going to be wonderful next year. And yet you look, there's always a warning. If you look closely, the warnings are there, but you have to search them out. The regular media doesn't give the warnings, but we do.
All right, here. This here, okay, is from the Mike Adams, the health ranger, and pattern of fires striking food facilities across the, we touched on this last week, across the USA, touched, suggesting arson teams are burning down America's food production and infrastructure. And they're wondering why the FBI isn't investigating this. You know, it might be that kind of like it on January 6th and kind of like what took place in Michigan.
With Governor Whitmore and the kidnapping, there was more FBI agents than suspects. And,
right.
Yeah, we had more federal agents running around January 6th than we had insurrectionists.
And so here, he goes on to say, a pattern of fire striking food facilities across the United States suggests that arson teams are targeting food facilities for destruction. This theory is confirmed by the constant and is consistent with other engineered tactics now being deployed to destroy food abundance in America. This is why we've been telling people to stock up on food and water and supplies. Again, they're trying to reduce this. Look, whoever controls the food controls the people. The partial halting of grain and fertilizer deliveries by Union Pacific Railroad, we talked about that last week, which is largely owned by BlackRock and Vanguard Investments. They're a part of the New World Order.
Right, that's a huge part. And a while back we were telling that, remember all this with the Biden economy and sending all the money so people didn't work, a lot of the major food processing plants were shutting down or running at like the quarter or third strength because they couldn't get the employees to come back to work. They're making far more money sitting at home than they would working in a factory, you know, processing chickens or turkeys or vegetables. And so, I mean, we tie all this together. This is the case of where you've got to go connect the dots, folks. You got to look at the big picture. And when you add all these things up, not enough people to get a lot of the food processing plants working, you're going to have a shortage. And the shortage depends on, there's going to be a, also at the same time, there is a chicken.
The mass culling of chickens and turkeys using fraudulent PCR testing to claim that there's another bird flu epidemic.
Flu, yeah.
This requires the mass destructions of egg-producing chickens and other birds used for meat. And the folks, the whole thing is a scam. It's not for real. It's a scam.
Shutting Again, down the they, processing, shutting down the chickens, shutting down the transportation, stopping the fertilizing of the crops. I mean, what else could you do to make things worse? I can't think of too many things else that they can do to make the situation any worse.
The government paying farmers to plow their crops under,
crops
effectively
under.
Incentivizing the destruction of the food supply. Joe Obama,
a long time ago.
Joe Obama and Biden's dismantling of American energy infrastructure, pipelines, drilling, which directly impact agriculture, creating vast increased prices for farming inputs such as fuel and fertilizer. In a recent broadcast, Black conservative patriot BCP asked his audience to crowdsource reports of fires affecting food facilities in the last few months. His audience produced the following, and it hasn't been fully vetted, but several recent fires such as Azure Standard Fire and the Taylor Farms food processing facility in Salinas, California, are both widely covered in recent news stories. Okay, you got dried milk plant in Idaho on October 21, food processing plant and fire in San Antonio, the JBS beef plant, 1221, Mississippi poultry feed and mill boiler explosion, 1221, Hamilton Mountain poultry processing Plant Fire 122, La Cabite Feed and Mill Fire, Louisiana 122, Bonanza Meat Company for Fire El Paso, Texas 222, Sheriff's Food Plant, Fire Plant Oregon, Mauston, Wisconsin River Meals Fire, Food Bank in Maricopa County, Arizona Food Pantry, 50,000 pounds of food destroyed by a fire. Nestle Fire in Arkansas, Walmart Distribution Center Fire, Potato Processing Plant in Penobscot, Maine, Sherbrooke, Canada Food Processing Fire, Fire Grain Elevator Plant Fire in Kansas, Fertilizer Plant Fire, Kansas, Azure Standard Fire, and Food Processing Plant in Salinas, California, April 22nd just happened. And so there you go. So you see, these things are all happening now, and it's about control. Shifting over, Joe, to here we want to go to the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum goals extend far beyond remaking the economy. They want to physically remake you and your children and your children's children. They want you to own nothing and to be happy by owning nothing, Joe.
Everybody shares, right? In the new world order that's coming, everybody will have the same thing. We'll all share.
Yeah.
The misery and the pain and, oh, that's...
We're all going to be equally destitute.
Right.
And these are very evil people.
And equity, folks. We all share in the misery and the pain and the hunger and the lack of freedom. That is the definition of equity.
Okay, so the World Economic Forum has been controlling the globalist elite for longer than any of us realize. Klaus Schwab's young global leaders have been installed as puppet leaders in countries across the Western world. Radical left luminaries such as Justin Trudeau in Canada, Emmanuel Macron in France, Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, and as well as billionaires Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos are the most egregious examples. Now, we have a full list of the forum's future global leaders. You would be wise to save the list for future reference, considering the repressive regimes led by the World Economic Forum's original young global leader generation, and knowing the plans that the World Economic Forum has in store for humanity. We can only assume the new generation of leaders are being trained to be even worse. Klaus Schwab's young global leaders class of 2021 include the Lieutenant Governor State of Michigan, a Senior Vice President at Uber, racist activist Abram A. Kendi, and executives at Dow, Pfizer, Merck, among others. Countries from all over the world are represented by
chemical
the world.
Chemical and two pharmaceutical companies. Notice where those people were. Two of the big pharma and one of the big chemical.
Yep. So there you go. And so we see what's happening now. The wickedness is unbelievable. And speaking of wickedness, we're going to switch over here in a minute to Nancy Pelosi, Joe. And I mean, she is one very nasty old woman. You remember what the films that was taken of her and there in San Francisco.
Yeah. The Gay Pride Festival.
Yeah, and she stood there next to two strip, stark-naked sodomites. She stood within a foot next to them, and she watched these two stark-naked sodomites sodomizing each other. And, you know, of course, they're probably higher-ups than the Democratic Party now. And she said to them, right live in video, that Jesus must be very pleased with the way that you two men are showing love for one another. This is a very sick, unclean, an extremely sick and unclean, and a very nasty old woman. And so now she's taking part in the RuPaul's Drag Race Stars Paramount. That's a drag queen. She's going to be a part of a drag queen show. And for her, yeah. So
she's the judge or something, huh?
Who knows? She may be the drag queen. You don't remember. You don't know.
Who knows?
You don't know what a woman is. Maybe she's had one of those. Maybe she's decided to be a drag queen. You know, remember, you can be whatever you think you are for that time.
I guess you're right. I want to put out a warning to every parent out there, every grandparent out there, talking about evil. You all know this new metaverse is out there. Well, Channel 4 dispatches shows the metaverse users boasting that they are attracted to little girls age between the age of 9 and 12, joking about rape and racism and virtual reality online. Now, the metaverse is a virtual space where users can game and communicate with others, explore the online world, interact in a number of virtual locations. But this TV Channel 4 dispatch, what they did, they had some investigators. Yinka Bakini posed as a 22-year-old woman and as a 13-year-old girl as a part of a probe that this TV show is going to be doing. And this investigation revealed sexually explicit comments, threatening behavior, were made minutes into this investigation when this journalist, when this Yinka, went undercover into Mark Zuckerberg's 3D community and using this popular headset, this Meta-owned Oculus Quest. 8 million of these have been sold to do this 3D thing. I don't know much about it, but they have chat rooms and all kinds of things. But the lady that was posing said within minutes she became surrounded by other users making sexual explicit comments, witness simulation of sex acts while walking around. Users appeared to be minors. The undercover reporter was threatened by avatars with language I can't do on the radio. And they had an adult-geared game room with someone asking if she'd like to blank, blank, didn't, can't read it, different sex acts. Another clip revealed about the little girls, 9 years old, talking about what they'd like to do with those little girls, went on and on. She said all this was just within 3-4 minutes of getting on, and about every few minutes something racist, highly sexual was on there. And this is a realm where children go and play. And she said that they average the Center for Counting Digital Hate that found that even minors were exposed to abusive behavior, racism and abusive behavior, every 7 minutes, and sexual garbage, almost every 3-4 minutes.
All right, Joe, we're coming up. We're going to come up to a break. And when we come back, I'm going to be reading some article, and then you got to listen to the clip. Be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.